ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A shaky ceasefire holds in Gaza, but the UN reports that just this year, radical Israeli settlers in the Palestinian West Bank have committed more than 700 attacks on Palestinians and their property. One group of Israelis is standing with the Palestinians, especially the farmers. Rabbis for Human Rights brings together liberal, orthodox, and conservative rabbis opposed to the militant settlers. Their spokesman is Anton Goodman.
So the olive harvest is the key time during the agricultural year for Palestinian farming communities. It's a major source of income, especially important in these years that the Palestinian society is facing deep economic crisis, with many Palestinians, around 200,000, who used to work in Israel, do not have entry permits, and just overall a bad economic situation. So it's even more important to Palestinian society. And it's also a time, usually a time of celebration, of cultural gathering, of families going out to pick their olives. And this year, tragically, we're seeing numerous obstacles to Palestinian farmers for reaching their olives, whether that be military restrictions or the settler violence, which is really out of control at this time.
You mentioned the settler confrontations there. Just give us a picture of what it looks like.
I can give you a very real example, because last week I was in the fields of Silwad, which is a Palestinian village north of Ramallah. And as we were harvesting olives in the really quite ancient olive groves, the legal property of these Palestinian farmers, we had got reports that there was a band of settlers in the area who were going round and attacking the harvesters. And within about 10 or 15 minutes, there was a group of 20 young settlers who were throwing rocks over the wall at our group who was harvesting. And then they came down and tried to disrupt the harvest and to intimidate everyone who was there. Really quite violent. This stage, I called the police. In these days, unfortunately, the police are not responding to the incidents that are being reported. And instead of the police, the army came. And the Israeli army has the responsibility of security in this area, but not for civilian disturbance, shall we say. So they can sometimes ignore this, let it go on, sometimes even support it, as we've seen. And so we were bothered for about an hour and a half by these settlers, which is a minor or light incident compared to other things that we're seeing across the West Bank, with beatings, with arson, also to olive trees being burnt down, even live fire against Palestinian farmers.
But Anton, when the Israeli troops, but also when some of these radical settlers are confronted not just by Palestinian farmers, but when side by side with those farmers is a group of rabbis and rabbinical students, many of whom are conservative and orthodox, do they think twice about their attacks?
It definitely changes the dynamic. And this is what we're trying to do. We're not just bringing our rabbis and rabbinical students. We have a huge community of activists and other organizations who are partnering with us. And we're going every day with groups between 40 activists to maybe even 100 on every day of the harvest. And yes, it does change the dynamic on the ground. The aim of this protective presence is an unarmed civilian protection to disincentivize violence, so that maybe violent settlers will come and they'll see such large numbers of Israelis and international activists, and they won't want to carry out the violence that they plan to do. It's a way also of enabling Palestinian farmers to reach lands that they don't have access to at the moment. I've just got back from an olive harvest in the Palestinian town of Nahalin in the Bethlehem area, on lands that the Palestinians haven't reached for the last 2 years since October the 7th.
To those of us who followed for decades the Israeli-Palestinian attempts at peace partnership, this effort by you is no surprise. But I'm wondering whether Israelis are shocked to see such an active presence of rabbis, particularly many of them orthodox and conservative, lining up with Palestinian farmers.
What we're doing is definitely against the current of the sentiment here at the moment. But that being said, those who hate what we're doing are really only the extreme right. And the center of Israel is in a place where they've suffered and taken part in the most barbaric war for the last 2 years. They've had their opinions radicalized, but it doesn't mean that they are lost cause. And we mustn't give up hope on either population in our aims to bring human rights for all and ultimately peace in our region.
What do Palestinians think of your presence? Because it's become so polarised, as you know. This is one of the many tragedies of October 7 and the many years of conflict that preceded October 7, this polarisation. What do Palestinians think of Rabbis for Human Rights and their role in the West Bank?
We have a remarkable partnership from Palestinian farmers to local representatives to agencies in the Palestinian Authority. And this relationship is based on the fact that it comes from a place of solidarity, of saying and seeing and hearing the Palestinian voices who are speaking about what they're going through at the moment and recognizing that these are their lands and working together so that they can have some human dignity at a time when it's so greatly lacking. And so what we find across Palestinian communities is such warm hospitality, and the protective presence that we're providing goes both ways. And without doubt, I feel much more comfortable when I have a large group of Palestinian farmers on the ground with us, or representatives from the city council who have come to join us, because the numbers together, and also the statement that this is Israelis and Palestinians, Jews and international activists all together, is a powerful moment.
Anton, you've referred several times to the protective presence of Rabbis for Human Rights. Maybe I'm naive. I'm assuming that you're not armed. You're quite deliberately eschewing any armed resistance. How do you protect yourselves? How do you protect the farmers? Especially when we do read stories that a small but very militant fringe of these settlers are often armed. How do you protect yourself?
They are indeed, and these are very difficult times. One of our staff was injured by a drone attack and had to get stitches at hospital. We had an attack where live fire in the air was used against one of our groups. So this is very worrying times that we're living in. The techniques that we're using, however, come from a whole methodology of unarmed civilian protection that has been used in conflict zones around the world when there's been a complete erosion of the rule of law and kind of security provision for vulnerable populations. And in unarmed civilian protection, there's numerous strategies and techniques you can use to prevent violence, to lower violence, and to de-escalate situations. Ultimately, our strength is that we're not only unarmed, we're purely a non-violent action. And we hope that we're bringing this force of non-violence into the world, into our region, especially at a time when so many are choosing violence.
Have any of your members gone to jail, even if just briefly, even if just for a few hours or for a couple of days, for your non-violent resistance?
Unfortunately, they have. And we had a group that included a number of Jewish American activists, two of whom were arrested and held in jail for 3 days before being deported from Israel and receiving a ban of 10 years of entering the country. And this is a real tragedy. Some of our Israeli staff were also detained and received a ban from going into the West Bank for 15 days, so somewhat lighter. But this kind of very harsh enforcement by the Israeli authorities against a non-violent effort, it really stings when you see violent settlers throwing rocks, beating Palestinian women, and not being arrested by the police and not serving any time for their crimes.
What's the Jewish reason, the Jewish motivation for an organization like Rabbis for Human Rights? What does the organization take from the Jewish texts and Jewish teaching to really support its raison d'etre?
And throughout the Jewish texts and throughout the ages, we have a tradition of the inherent sanctity of all life. All human life has a spark of God within it. This must be the generator for our actions in this world, to make the world a better place, to bring God into our societies, to protect those that are weaker than us. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the Torah, the most often mentioned commandment, mitzvah, as we call it, is Ve'ahavtem et hager ki gerim hayitem beretz Mitzrayim, and you must love the stranger because you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. And it's important to note that this is the most often mentioned commandment because it's very important how you treat those who are not within your ethnic group and how you relate to people who are more vulnerable than you, who are weaker than you, and people who are lacking maybe some of the human dignity that everyone should have equally. These are the Jewish values that direct our actions.
As the conflict, perhaps, hopefully, winds down in Gaza, I'm wondering how optimistic you are of a durable, sustainable peace, particularly in Gaza. There's been little reason for optimism, but the very presence of an organisation like yours, years of partnership with Palestinians, may inspire some people to believe that there's hope. I'm just wondering how you feel.
We are praying with deep conviction that the ceasefire in Gaza holds, but it's not merely an end of conflict or military action that's needed at this time. The humanitarian needs are dire. The level of suffering in the Gaza Strip is something that is almost impossible to address, but it is not being addressed enough. That leads me to saying the kind of peace that we're looking for. The kind of peace that we're looking for is with a human rights-based approach, a peace that makes people's lives better, not just a peace where there's less military conflict, but there's a peace where people have real safety and security, people have access to basic needs, they have opportunities, and they have hope for the next generation. I believe we can attain this. I believe from the partnerships that we have with Palestinians and Palestinian institutions that is absolutely attainable. However, it needs a major paradigm shift in the narratives of both societies, of the understanding of where we need to get to together. But ultimately, the people I meet on the ground are good people, both in Palestinian society and in Israeli society. And you have these rotten apples that are toxic and infecting the rest of society with extremism on both sides. And we need to be clear that we need to have camps that join together, not along ethnic lines, along value lines, that stand up for the dignity of life and work towards peace together. And I do think it can be done.
Anton Goodman of Rabbis for Human Rights.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.